Meme Lord Monday streams live every Monday on the Meme Lord Monday podcast channel on YouTube. Tune in every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to be part of the live reactions and question and answer time.
Meme Lord Monday.
What's up, guys? What's going on? It's your boy, Matt Matias. It's Meme Lord Monday. We do this every Monday, guys. You guys are the best. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's your boy, Matt Matias, your meme lord for the Lord. I make Christian memes. I love God. And I like talking about stuff that's going on in the internet. But mostly it's me just ranting and raging on this page and this channel. And, we stream every Monday. When I say we, I mean me. I stream every Monday night on this YouTube channel, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You guys tune in. It's great. I love you guys. It's the best. And thank you so much for tuning in. So, yeah, let me just give you a little sound effect right here. Good job. All right. That was really loud. I'm sorry. Let me just turn that down a little bit. How's this? Is that a little better? Is that too low? I need to make sure, because I've noticed my sound effects can be a little off the chain as far as the volume level. So let me know if it when they're too high, okay? But guys, it's Meme Lord Monday. My baby's crying upstairs. My poor little three-month-old is crying. If you want to support this show, you can do so by going to memelordmonday.supercast.com. And guys, we're doing a group chat. What am I talking about? We're doing a group call tomorrow night, and all my supporters get to hop on one call, no matter what tier you're in. And if you are a content creator, I highly recommend becoming a supporter, because we do content creation coaching in this call, and we also hang out. We vibe. It's great. We talk about life. It's so fun. Last time I hung out with my friends Hannah and Bethany, we were just chilling. And then we talked a little bit about how to grow Hannah's business, and it was fun. We had a great time. So there you go. Thank you so much for your support, those who do support. Meme Lord Monday is basically listener supported. I know I got ads here and there, but I don't go crazy with them like some podcasts do. So I want to make it as few ads as possible, so that we can just chill and vibe and talk about cool stuff. I always got to bring up my main page, Memes for Jesus. Memesforjesus.com is where I sell our merch, and you get 15% off. If you listen to this podcast, you get 15% off. If you use promo code Monday, we got the brand new, let me get these codes off the screen real quick. I'm just adding more. Look at this boomer moment. We got the brand new, let me move the mic. Explain This Atheist hoodie, super soft. I love this design done by Sword and Pencil. And not only that, but people wanted the white shirt design. We got it. It's super soft. I love it. It's irrefutable evidence for the existence of God. Okay? You rock this. I got some atheists that bought this design because they think it's so amazing. So, yeah. Thank you, everyone who supports Meme Lord Monday and Memes for Jesus. Also, a big banger that's been going around is this anti-prosperity gospel shirt. Super soft, made from comfort colors, extremely comfortable and stylish. And if you hate the prosperity gospel, join the club. Anti-prosperity gospel club. I'm like QVC right now.
Hey, here we got the anti-prosperity gospel club shirt. If you get this, we get blah, blah, blah.
You know what I'm saying? Promo code Monday, you get 15% off. MemesForJesus.com. All right, I'm done. There's all the promos. Good job. You guys weathered the storm. Whew. All right. How's everybody feeling? Talk to me. What are we talking about? All right, I asked before we started the stream if you like Maruchan or Top Ramen, because ramen is a big deal, all right? If you've been in college or you're just broke, as a joke, you got the struggle meals, you gotta know your ramen. Romans 5:8 says, Top Ramen has a nice sharp flavor, but Maruchan is a good balance. I don't know about Top Ramen having a sharp flavor. I don't know. Maybe my taste buds aren't as developed as yours. That's the first. I'm a Maruchan simp. That's why. Maruchan for chicken and Top Ramen for curry. Ooh, I've never tried the curry flavor. I've never tried the curry flavor. That sounds dope. Drained ramen, yeah. There's no, if people, when I see people eating ramen and it's got all the soup in it, what are you doing? You got to eat it drained. That's the only way. Now, if you get the soup in it, you need to have all like the anime stuff. That sounds so racist. I'm sorry. Not the anime stuff. You got to have like the pork, the egg. You got to have all the, you know, you got to have everything if you're going to do it. But yeah, no, normally I'm with you, Romans 5'8". Drained ramen. Let me see a couple more. Buffalo chicken pizza. W right there. Not even... not even in the scope of options. Good stuff, Sam. Oh, man. Yeah, I gotta drain it. If I'm just chilling... By the way, I got tape on my finger because of jujitsu messing up my fingers and stuff. My finger's been hurting a lot. So if you see, you know, that's what I'm doing. That's what's going on there. Okay, a small time. What are you saying here? As a Mexican, Maruchan is a must. Yeah, I'm Hispanic. Maruchan is like, you can't go wrong with that. Yeah, if you make your ramen with fancy with all the toppings, oh man. Like you got, if you go to like a ramen shop, there's a place close to me and my buddy Mike in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and that's how it's pronounced. Lancaster, not Lancaster, Lancaster. That's how it's pronounced, just in case. If you're ever in Pennsylvania and you want to go to Shady Maple Smorgasbord, and you want to go to all this, it's pronounced Lancaster, okay? Remember that. If you say it correctly, people will be not angry at you. That's how you do it. Anyways, there's this place called Ninja Ramen. Yo, I'm not sponsored. You boy, I'm not. I just went there once. It's anime themed, and you know, last time I talked about a little bit about how much I love anime. But the ramen, oh my goodness, was so good. Why am I talking about this? All right. I got lots of stuff I want to react to. I don't know if it's going to be a long show today, guys. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm feeling really tired. I didn't sleep well last night. And, you know, but I love doing the show. I love hanging out with you guys. And, but there's, you know, I always have something I got to complain about. Okay, wait. What's Virgil saying? Finally, Maruchan is making microwave cups. Microwavable cups. I've always used the microwave for it. Oh, yeah, they're not microwavable. It's so funny that they did that. They're like, and now microwavable. Everybody's like, what do you mean? That Jennifer Lawrence meme? What do you mean? What do you mean? We've all been microwaving the ramen, guys. What are you saying? It's now microwavable. We've been doing that this whole time. Yeah, we're all, you know, there's a meme that it's like everybody's like the generation's curse. It was like the boomers had the lead poisoning. I guess Gen X had like drugs or whatever. And millennials, our generation, it's microplastics. And so that's what we're cursed with. Yeah, we all are just filled with microplastics. Yummy, yummy. All right, guys, I got stuff. Like I said, I want to react to a lot of stuff. And the way I do this show is that during the week, I'm on my phone all the time, you know, just making memes, looking at stuff, perusing the internet as a meme lord does. You know what I'm saying? This is what we do. But I just have a saved folder that's called the React folder that I have in my on my Meme Lord Monday account on Instagram. And I react to different stuff. So one thing I normally react to, if you're new here, is hypercharismatic stuff. Because I used to be hypercharismatic, now I'm Presbyterian. And when I talk about being hypercharismatic, I'm not like the regular dude that's like, oh yeah, I went to a hypercharismatic church and I had a bad experience. I grew up in a hypercharismatic church. I went to an Assemblies of God college. Graduated, became an Assemblies of God minister, associate pastor, and I served there for, you know, 5-6 years. So I got lots of experience with Pentecostalism and hypercharismatic circles. However, I want to address one thing. You know, a lot of guys have messaged me. One person messaged me, I should say, and said, "Hey, I appreciate you challenging the hypercharismatic movement, but there are balanced continuationists, meaning people who still believe in the gifts as being present for today, that aren't hyper charismatic. They're very balanced and very conservative." And I want to acknowledge that. I want to say, yeah, I want to be more open-minded to that. Because obviously I'm jaded. Obviously. I embrace it. I'm jaded. I'm angry. I've had crazy experiences. And I feel as though the more extreme end of charismatic churches is extremely dangerous and hurtful, because I've experienced that as a little kid, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old. I was traumatized by this stuff. And so now that I've healed from it, and now that I'm moving away from it, I want to make sure I'm charitable towards those who are practicing with wisdom. You know, like my brother Ruslan, the guys at Remnant Radio, even though I disagree with them a lot because they be goofy. I agree more with Ruslan than Remnant Radio. Remnant Radio, I feel like sometimes they just make the most audacious claims. They'll be like, "Oh yeah, you know, this scripture says this," when it doesn't. It just, you know, it doesn't. I'm sorry. But yeah, anyways, I'm getting off on a crazy tangent. I haven't even reacted to anything yet. Let's do this first, okay? Let me look at this. Is this the one?
Deliverance is,
yeah,
not
this is the one. Okay,
an
so,
easy ticket, a get out of jail free card.
All right. This is Isaiah Saldivar. He's like the ringleader for Deliverance Ministries right now. If you don't know what a Deliverance Ministry is, it's basically somebody who believes that Christians can have demons, like be demon possessed, which I believe is insane. It's insanity. Like literally, I think if you just read the Bible, I think it's bad. But one of the things I want to talk about today is the fact that I think that there's especially in American evangelicalism, there's just like a real disconnect with how to read the Bible. And that's one thing I feel like I'm not going to sit here too and be one of those podcasts and be like, "This is how you read the Bible correctly." No, I'm not. I'm a stupid meme lord. You know, feel free to disagree with anything I say here. I've just given my opinion here, and I could be super wrong. But I love theology. I've studied this stuff. I've experienced hypercharismatic circles. I've been to churches like Isaiah Saldivar's. I've experienced deliverance. I've experienced all that stuff. I've been through all of it, you know? So I'm not talking about somebody who's, you know, doesn't know what they're talking about here. I'm not one of those guys. I probably have more experience than most YouTubers, Christian YouTubers that talk about this stuff, to be honest with you. But I want to still be charitable, and I want to approach this stuff carefully, biblically, gently, kindly. So, you know, but the thing is, I just find myself disagreeing with Isaiah so much. And I'm gonna use this video to explain what I mean by how we misrepresent scripture. So yeah, let me just let him talk. Because I agree with him on some points, but I disagree with him on a lot of points here.
Deliverance is not an easy ticket, a get out of jail free card.
Okay, so he's saying deliverance is not an easy get out of jail free card. So what he's talking about is deliverance, quote unquote, being set free from demonic possession or oppression. This is Isaiah's big focus. And keep that in mind. When a church has a major focus and an emphasis, that right there is a huge red flag. That's a red flag. If they're hyper-focused on spiritual and supernatural things, that's a big red flag right there. I'm just saying. I'm going to let him continue.
Still need to have a life of prayer. You still need to fast. You still need...
100% agree. You know, regardless of what you believe in, regardless of what you hold to, I wholeheartedly agree. As Christians, we should be committed to prayer and fasting.
Consecrate yourself. Live holy.
Living holy. Yes, 100%.
Walk before God. You still need to be involved in a local church. You still need to have these Christian practices. It's not just get delivered and you're good forever. Okay, deliverance is just the start. But again, Jesus cast out demons everywhere. The disciples cast out demons. So we, as according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, are ambassadors.
Okay. Hey, you like clothes, right? I'm pretty sure you're wearing clothes right now. And if you're not, that's okay. If you want to wear clothes, but not just regular clothes, Christian clothes, and also support this podcast, head on over to memesforjesus.com and get yourself some premium, super soft, super cool, and also super funny meme drip. Drip just means clothes or like your style, your fashion, you know, in case you're over the age of 20. A portion of every purchase goes towards helping foster kids in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Head on over to memesforjesus.com and use promo code MONDAY to get 15% off your order. All right, back to the show. What did he say? Corinthians 5:17? You want to know what 2 Corinthians 5:17 really says? He says, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that we are ambassadors. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 actually says that we are new creations in Christ. What he meant to say was 2 Corinthians 5:20, 2 Corinthians 5:20, where it says we are ambassadors of Christ. So like, you know, huge, I don't know why he would post this because if he's misquoting scripture, that's a big deal. In my opinion, that's a big deal.
Are ambassadors of Christ, John 14:12, the same works I've done, you'll do an even greater. And
okay, right, that's right there what I wanted to react to. A lot of charismatic, hyper-charismatic, I'll say, churches will say, well, Jesus said, the works that I do, you'll do greater works. I just want to say, be careful with that, because if you want to logically, you know, hold to that standard, does that mean what you guys think it means? Because if it really means that, that means, and this is where a lot of people get sinless perfectionism from, where, you know, well, Jesus said we will do greater works than these. So that means that if Jesus was perfect, that means I can be perfect. You know what I mean? You can get some real, real crazy conclusions just based off this one verse, and I've seen it all. So whenever somebody says this verse as a proof text for you to be able to do anything that Jesus did plus something else, I think that there's more to this verse than just that, just miracles. I think what Jesus is really referring to, honestly, is the fact that, you know, the Christian message not only was just proclaimed in, you know, to the immediate area where Jesus preached, but it was spread throughout the entire world. I think that's what Jesus was referring to. I don't think he was talking about us having superpowers, like Lazar is saying, we have superpowers? No, I think it's talking about spreading the gospel to the entire world. I don't think it's talking about us literally being able to raise people from the dead and us literally being able to, you know, spit in the mud and then miraculously heal blind men. I don't think that's what it means. I don't think that that's what that means. You know, this gets abused so much in these circles because like, well, yeah, man, the Bible says this. And that's the one verse that they point to. They go crazy with that verse. So, all right, sorry, let me keep going.
This is why we do it. We don't do it because we just decided one day we're going to do it. We do it because we're walking in the path that Jesus paved. Stop listening to these YouTubers that have never done any deliverance teaching you you don't need to do this. I'll obey Jesus. Jesus says I do. You say I don't. The disciples did. You say I shouldn't. I think I'm going to go with the Bible. Deliverance.
Okay. Check it out. So his argument is the Bible says, be very careful when somebody says that, you know, especially if it's just one verse, like that's one verse. When do you read like one sentence in an article about, like, you know, in a sports magazine. Like, say you have, like, something that's involving sports and you just read one sentence. Sure, that one sentence can be a big deal, but there's a lot of information and nuance around that one sentence that the article comprises. It's the same way with the Bible. You just can't take one verse and base an entire theology off of it. You know, just be very careful with that. So I wanted to kind of take this episode to, like, really explain why I'm a cessationist, because I talk about being cessationist, and I don't think a lot of people understand cessationism really well. So there's a guy on TikTok, actually, who he does a really good job of explaining what cessationism is. And like, I agree with everything he's saying here. So let's listen to this real quick. I think it's like a 2.5 minute thingy that he's got here. Okay, let's see if this works.
Have the spiritual gifts stopped? First of all, this is not a debate between the Orthodox and the heretical. Cessationists and continuationists are brothers and sisters. First, for a clarification.
Yeah, I love this guy. He's Thinkumentary. His name is Taylor on TikTok. Really well balanced and charitable guy. I really appreciate him. He and I share a lot of the same theological convictions. But I love this opening line that he says here. He says, listen, continuationists and cessationists, we are brothers and sisters. Okay? Let me just play that again, because that's so important.
Have the spiritual gifts stopped? First of all, this is not a debate between the Orthodox and the heretical. Cessationists and continuationists are brothers and sisters.
Yeah. That right there, so important. So many people who say that the spiritual gifts have stopped, you know, aka cessationists, will demonize the hyper charismatic churches and say that, well, they're heretical. Not once have I said that on this podcast. As strongly as I've opposed a lot of the practice of the hyper charismatic church, I will not say that they're heretical. I won't go there. And a lot of, like, I grew up hyper charismatic, like I said, and a lot of charismatic churches will say cessationists are heretics. They'll even go as far as to say they've committed the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Like, okay, bro, relax. But that's why I love this guy, because, like I said, he's super charitable, and I highly recommend checking him out. But anyways, I'm going to let him explain cessationism a bit more so that it's a bit, like, he does it so clearly here. So check it out.
Just for clarification, cessationism is not the idea that God cannot work or does not work miracles in the world today. Every time someone professes Jesus, it's because the Spirit has been at work and he's miraculously regenerated a heart from death to life.
Love that. Cessationists still believe in miracles. We believe in the miraculous. We believe that the most miraculous thing that God does is regenerate a heart that is dead and make it alive unto Christ. Like, that's amazing. I felt it in my own life. God just turning me into a new person, a new creation. And it's like, that's a miracle. That's, you know, that wasn't of me. I didn't do it. That was definitely God. And so that's a miracle. I don't think we should discount that. So let him keep going.
Cessationist, I still believe God works miracles in the world today. Cessationism is the belief that the uniqueness of the miraculous gifts are tied to the age of the apostles. They were normative and a regular part of the life of the church while the apostles were on the earth.
He's going to use a lot of big terms, so that's why I'm going to pause a lot. He's saying that the gifts were completely normal during a certain period of time. So keep that in mind.
The apostles have died, the gifts have ceased to be normative with them. Three reasons why I believe this. First, in Scripture, we tend to assume that miracles are just going on all the time, everywhere, but they're actually tied to three unique ages where God is active in the world. First, miracles show up regularly under Moses and Joshua. Secondly, we see a revival of miracles around the time of Elijah and Elisha. And thirdly, we see a bunch of miracles around the time of Jesus and his apostles. This is...
Okay, so he's talking about how there's ages when the Spirit of God moved in a certain way that we can see in Scripture historically, you know, with the prophets and those chosen of God. And that's why we can say how the Spirit was moved and you know, how the Spirit moved and why it doesn't necessarily move the same way. So here.
Because miracles serve a prophetic purpose. They show up around the time God is uniquely at work in the world in order to demonstrate the authority and the leadership of the men that he's called to lead his people. Second.
Okay. I'm going to stop right there again. So, hey, what's up, Scooty? That's my boy, Scooty. He's seething right now because I'm talking about cessationism. So I know, what's up, Scooty? I love you, but yeah, become a cessationist. Excuse me. But like, they basically what he's saying is, whenever we see in scripture, you know, the Spirit moving through prophets in certain different ways, it's because God is demonstrating his authority in a certain way. Now, listen, I want to say this too. You guys don't need to agree with me on this. Like I said, if you don't, if you believe that the gifts are still here, good for you. We can disagree, but I still love you, you know? Wow, there's no way this guy's reformed. But like, so what he's saying is during certain ages when God is demonstrating his authority, that's why we see the gifts move in a certain way, like in the Old Testament. You know, you see the prophets being like, yo, God, let's see some fireballs come down. Bam. That's what happens because that person was a prophet. There you go. Do you see people coming? You know, do you see people saying, yo, God, let's see that fireball right now? It's not happening. I'm sorry. A lot of like Benny Hinn's and a lot of televangelists will be like, oh, yeah, we stopped the weather. Bro, you ain't calling no fireballs down from heaven. Bro, you're not splitting no seas in half, bro. You're not doing that. So, all right, let me just give that one challenge. Okay? Say you believe in the gifts. Cool. Is your pastor splitting the Red Sea? When was the last time your pastor turned a staff into a snake? You have to, at some point, you have to understand that the same things that are happening in the Old Testament are not happening today in the same way. Like, they're just not. So that's one element of cessationism. It's like, bro, the things that did in the Old Testament were wild, were insane. Like, God moved through those prophets in a way we do not see today. You just don't see that. Do you hear of anybody saying, yo, son, stop moving? And the son just stops moving. Like, it's not happening, guys. That just is not happening. You know, even anecdotally, you're just not seeing that happen. And I'm not going to say that God can't do that, but you don't see men of God doing that. God can do that, sure. That's what the beginning of the video was saying. It's like God can do whatever he wants. That the cessationist is not against signs and wonders and crazy stuff happening. The cessationist is against saying that this person can do this in the same way we see in the Bible, because there's certain ages where we see this happening in a crazy, insane, ridiculous way, because God is, he's flexing. He's showing off. He's like, yo, yeah, I'm God, by the way. And the man of God is the method in which he did that through the prophet. So, all right, let's keep going.
We see the apostolic age as a unique time where God is at work. We see.
Yeah. So another reason I'm kind of interrupting them, because the dude, I love him, but the dude's voice is like extremely monotone. So I'm trying to give him some life here. The apostolic age is what he's saying is like when you see the disciples become apostles after Christ, you know, ascends to heaven, the disciples become apostles. And so that's called the apostolic age, when the disciples became apostles and they were alive in the earth and they were writing scripture.
See that in Christ and his arrival is the last day's revelation from God. That is, he's going to...
Okay. Scripture says, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his son. Okay. So check it out. If you are a continuationist, do you believe that we can still write scripture? Do you believe that the Bible is still something that's completely open-ended, that people are still writing scripture? Genuine question, okay? Do you believe that people have the ability, Like, if God speaks, don't you think we should be writing that down? You know, if God is really speaking through you in a way that's like a way that should be edifying the church, should we be writing that down and saying that that does, that that's scripture? You know, genuine question, genuine cue.
Maybe the last word from God until the second coming, which means him and his apostles are giving us God's final revelation before Jesus returns. We also see that the apostles are unique to a particular age.
Okay. This is a big one right here. The apostles, Laser says, isn't that why the Mormons exist? The apostles only existed for a particular age. So what does it mean to be an apostle? In scripture, and he's going to talk about this, in scripture you see that there are very, very, very specific and particular ways that a person can be an apostle. And this is like, and some people say this is like a capital A apostle, because, you know, there's lowercase a apostles here. I'm not here to make that argument. What I'm here to say is that there are apostles that are unique. And scripture says, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to also to be to me, for I am the least of the apostles. So basically he's saying, Paul is saying he is an apostle because he meets the criteria by a very slim margin.
A gift from God, but Paul is the last of that gift to the church. Interesting to note is that when Paul lists the apostles as a gift, he lists them alongside the other miraculous gifts.
And so— okay, this is another big thing. God appointed in time church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating various kinds of tongues. So it's like there's an order to things. There's an order to things where it's like God has appointed certain prophets and tied with these gifts. I mean, these apostles, he's tied with these apostles are these gifts, tongues being one of them, gifts of healing, things like that. It's talking about miracles all being tied first to the, and this is the Bible, 1 Corinthians 12:28. It's like the first thing that you see on the list is apostles, and then everything else is tied to that. Whenever the Bible lists something like that, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they're all connected in a certain way. I mean, at least that's what I feel is the best interpretation. Like I said, feel free to disagree, guys. I could be wrong here. I could be tripping, and I'm willing to accept that. I'm not freaking, you know, Tim Ross over here being like, well, no, God told me this, so that's it. You know, if you don't like me, you know, go to the store down the road, man. Like, shut up. I'm willing to be wrong about this. I just find this to be the most convincing and convincing reading of scripture.
So if Paul is the last of the apostles and the gift of the apostle has ceased, then it makes sense that the other gifts would cease with them. In fact...
yeah. So that's basically what he's saying. He's like, listen, if there are apostles, and the Bible is saying that the apostles require a very specific requirement to be an apostle, and it's also saying that those gifts are tied to those apostles... once those apostles are gone, so are those gifts. That's what the argument is. Because it's like I just said, you know, it says in 1 Corinthians there, you know, first the apostle, then this, then that, then this. Hezekiah says, so where is pastor in the Bible? Actually, there's several terms for pastor. Don't make me get nerdy, bro. Because I'll bore everybody. But basically, the Bible uses the term elder, or it uses presbyteros, you know, like a presbyter. Pastor is just like an English word that we use, but elder would basically be the same thing.
The miraculous gifts are described in 2 Corinthians 12 as the signs of an apostle.
Another thing. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with utmost patience with signs and mighty works. So there's a lot of passages that say a true apostle looks like XYZ. If there's a true apostle, that means that there's fake apostles. And the way that you discern between the two is by those gifts that were listed. And so if those apostles are gone, then those gifts should be gone as well. That's the argument.
Take these gifts to be unique signs of the apostolic age.
So yeah, and that's also the argument. It's like the reason that these gifts existed in the first place were to be a sign to people. Like, look, it's, you know, this is God. This is something that's completely divine that no one has say over, because God said these guys are special and he's using these guys to orchestrate and create the church. And he's going to get to that. But, you know, that's basically the argument. And we'll keep going. It's a little bit longer.
Prophetic purpose. The apostolic age was unique. And thirdly, the apostolic age was sufficient. Ephesians 2:20 tells us that the apostles and the prophets laid the foundation of the church.
Okay, so if we understand that apostles have to meet very, very specific requirements that Scripture describes, then we understand that in Ephesians it says the church was built on those apostles and prophets that we see from those ages that are very, very specific. Then we have to understand that if those apostles and prophets don't exist in the same way, then those gifts don't exist in the same way as well. And that's the thing. I like saying, instead of saying like the gifts are gone, I like saying that the gifts don't operate in the same way as they did in the New Testament. I like saying that better rather than just being like, yep, the gifts aren't here anymore. I don't like saying that. Because as he, if you were listening in the beginning, he said that the gifts, you know, or the miraculous is still happening because God can do whatever he wants. And that's what a cessationist, like if you're a cessationist says no miracles can ever happen, that dude is dumb. That dude is a dummy, big dummy. He deserves 1,000 slaps. So if the cessationist ever says that, you know, they're not, they haven't really studied on what cessationism really is.
Once that was done, they were no longer needed. We know this because as Jude...
Okay, so he's saying that once the apostles created the foundation of the church, that those miraculous gifts were no longer needed in the same way that we saw them in the New Testament and the Old Testament.
3 tells us the faith has once for all been delivered to the saints.
Okay, that's a big one. You know, if you're a continuation, like I said, you really have to wrestle with the fact that Scripture, if it is God-breathed, if it is God speaking to the church, and Jude says that the faith was once for all delivered to the saints, there's a lot to deal with there. I'm going to be honest. This is what kind of like really compromised my continuationism, because it's like, if God is speaking in the same way, in the same exact way, because that's the argument for the continuations. They're like, oh yeah, God's speaking in the same way in the New Testament. Is he though? You know, is he speaking in the same way in the Old Testament? Is he? Is God speaking in the same way as he was in the Old Testament? Why is he moving in the same way in the New Testament, but not in the same way as the Old Testament? Like what happened there? There's a disconnect. It's going to take a huge leap of logic to say that God's moving in the same way as it was in the Old Testament. Because like I said, then you got to be like, well, pastors and apostles should be splitting seas. They should be, running faster than chariots. They should be flying through the sky. They should be doing all sorts of superhuman things. Because that's Old Testament gifts. New Testament gifts is speaking in tongues and, you know, doing miraculous gifts. Because the apostle had those gifts and was able to just, I forget it was Peter or Paul, but like the shadow passing over somebody would heal somebody. Like that was some crazy stuff. And again, just to reiterate, I'm not saying that God can't do those things, because I know those things are happening overseas, 100%. But I don't think it's the same way where it's like, you know, apostle XYZ, everywhere they go, this happens. I think that, you know, through missions work and things like that, that God is moving. Like for instance, there's a story I just heard, shout out to Ninjas or Butterflies podcast. They were talking about how missionaries, when they go overseas to like third world countries, and they have this understanding of like a shaman, where it's like, if you're sick, you go to the witch doctor, you get sick and they heal you. They have a certain power there. And then sometimes somebody's sick and the witch doctor can't heal them, and they'll be like, well, which you know, our God's not working, so which God's going to heal them? They'll go to the missionary will pray for them, that person will be healed, and they'll be like, oh, that God's real, he's the most powerful God, and they serve him. Like, that's happened, and I believe that, and I believe that's God demonstrating his power and authority in a way that's very pure and organic. So, as a cessationist, I'm like, yeah, that's 100%, but that's not God saying that this is my apostle I've appointed in the same way we see in scripture. Okay, I'm rambling. Can I ask for clarity's sake? Matt is saying, are you saying God no longer speaks at all, or that he speaks in a different way now? Yeah, and that's what I was saying earlier. That's what I was saying earlier, that I don't think that God speaks in the same way that he was speaking in the New Testament, and even in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, he was speaking through burning bushes. You know, he was speaking through donkeys. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was going, God was just going crazy in the Old Testament. It was different. It hit different back then. You know, let me just do some X-Files right here. It was crazy in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, like I said, you see miraculous healing, you see tongues, you see different types of things like that. Where I don't think God is necessarily, I think God can do those same things, but I don't think it's the same way like we see in the New Testament. All right, he's almost done here. Let's keep going.
As the fullness of God's revelation has been complete. This is why we see in the New Testament towards the close of the apostles' letters, they are not exhorting people to continue prophesying. They are exhorting the current leaders to be devoted to the reading of Scripture.
Whoa. Yeah, I don't know how that argument goes. He's saying that Scripture is saying, listen, guys, you probably shouldn't prophesy as much as before. You should devote yourselves to Scripture more. I don't know how I feel about that argument, because there's different scriptures that say different things about that. But yeah, let me just finish this out and then we'll get going.
The most controversial passage, 1 Corinthians 13, it actually tells us that the gifts will cease. The question is when. Some will say that this is a reference to Christ's second.
Yeah, and that's another thing. As a continuationist, you have to understand that Scripture does say that these things will go away at some point in time. And he's charitable enough to say we don't know when that's going to happen. But we still have to understand the Scripture argues that it's going to go away.
Coming when the end finally comes. But there's also reasons to believe that this is a reference to the completion of Revelation. That is, now that we have the fullness of God's word, we no longer need the miraculous gifts.
Okay. So that's basically the argument for cessationism. Man, that took the whole show. I appreciate you guys tuning in for that. But that's basically, he summed up why I am a cessationist. And like I said, if you disagree, it's totally cool. I love you. And like he said at the beginning of his video, we are brothers. It's not like a heresy thing. I think it's just a hermeneutical thing. It's a different reading of scripture type thing. So yeah, that's it. I really wanted to lay that out and say that this all depends on how you read scripture. And I just want to, you know, encourage you guys, if you're viewing this, to be careful of people that just take one single verse and base their entire theology and their practice off of that. Well, Jesus said this, this, and this. But like, you know, be real careful. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah. All right, guys. Listen, I got to go early today. I really appreciate you guys tuning in. You guys are the best. Thank you so much for like hearing me rant about this stuff. If you want to support this show, like I said, you can become a member. MemeLordMonday.supercast.com. And listen, guys, I know I'm kind of leaving like real quick. Please feel free to email me, DM me, MemeLordMonday, on Instagram or Facebook. Email me at MemeLordMonday@gmail.com. I'd love to continue talking about this stuff. I don't think that I'm 100% correct on this, but this is where I stand. And that's it. So, all right, like I said, I got to run. I love you guys. Please reach out to me. If you haven't already, make sure to give this show on iTunes or Spotify 5 stars. I super appreciate that. That super helps. Like this video. Subscribe if you haven't done so already. That's it. I'm done on my YouTube cringy stuff. Hit me up. I'd love to talk to you guys. You guys are amazing. Love you. Thank you so much. Mimiples. My Mimiples. All right, guys. Take care. Love you.